Father, thank you for the songs that you give us to sing. Father, as long as they're about you, they're good songs. I pray that we would never grow tired of singing to you. And Father, thank you for a body of believers who love you. A body of believers who has as a mission of their life to love you and to serve one another. And Father, as we turn in your word this morning, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. There is so much that you're saying in these verses this morning. I pray that we'd have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Make your way over to the book of James. We just started this book for a couple of months, I guess it is, I think, something like that. And I was feeling guilty. It took us several years to get through the Gospel of John. And I thought James is just five or six chapters. There may be a good two or three years in that too, I don't know. But I was, I'm not feeling bad about that, but I don't know how this happened, but John Marshall, who pastored Second Baptist Church for over 25 years in Springfield, started writing to me. And so we've just started exchanging emails and that kind of thing for a long time now. And he asked me where we were studying on Sunday, and I told him, and I said, we don't get in a very big hurry. And he wrote back and he said, I've pastored for 25 years and made it from Matthew 1 to Matthew 25. And so I'm not feeling as bad, Mick, as I was. We'll turn to your Bibles then to James this morning, and we're in chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 26 and 27 this morning. The writer of James says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So what we're going to look at this morning is a question that I'm directing to you and to me. Are you religious? Are you religious? In our culture, it seems these days that people don't know anything about Jesus, it doesn't seem. And so they have coined the phrase, are you religious? And I don't know what they mean by that, but that's the question you'll hear asked from time to time. Well, we're going to explore that this morning. Are you religious? In the world today, there are 8.2 billion people. And so I found a source that helped me break out how religious the people that make up that 8.2 billion number is. Christianity has 28% of the world's population. That's about 2.4 billion people. And Christianity is largely located in the United States, Mexico, and Brazil. It's other places, but that's where it's predominant. 28%, 2.4 billion people, Christianity. Islam is the second, Muslim, about 25% of the population. And the Muslim religion is the fastest growing religion in the world. There are about 2 billion Muslims in the world. And largely they are in the Middle East, South Asia, India, Pakistan, and Indonesia. Then the third largest group is called unaffiliated. That means nothing, okay? They have no religion at all or no religious emphasis in their life. About 24% of the population of the world has no religion. About 2 billion people. And of course, those are scattered throughout the world. Then next on the list is Hinduism, about 14%, 1.4 billion people, largely in India and Nepal and South Asia. Buddhism has 4% of the world's population, 500 million people, in Southeast Asia, China, and Japan. And then there is a category that's other. That's everybody else, okay? All other religions of whatever ilk they may be make up about 2.4% or 250 million people. Of course, those people will be worldwide. A lot of people in the world are religious. Do you get that? 8.2 billion people, and they all are scattered into these various religions of the world. So what we're going to look at this morning is criteria for being religious. Then we're going to look at conduct of those who are religious. And finally, confirmation of a pure religion. So let's begin looking at the criteria for being religious. So what does it mean to be religious? Fair question. We understand all the words in that question, but what does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things, and this is not exhaustive. It means a person practices specific religious teachings. It means that a person follows rituals of some kind. It means that they share the values that the religion they belong to have. It's probably containing a list of do's and don'ts. It may involve joining a church, giving money, attending church. It may mean that your church is on the church roll. That's an old terminology, but that used to be a big deal. If your name was on the church roll, then you're all right. That's what it may mean. It could mean that you participate in church activities, that you attend the programs of the church. Some denominations say you're confirmed. And that list could go on and on this morning, but there is a language that describes people who are religious. And as I was beginning this study last Sunday night, it occurred to me that Jesus wasn't religious. Of all of the people in the world today and all the emphasis on religion, that Jesus wasn't religious. In fact, he criticized and condemned the religious folks of his day, the Jews. He called the Jewish leaders snakes and vipers and whitewashed tombs, dangerous men and women, dead and decaying adherents to a religion, to a system that control their lives, a religion that had an agenda. Folks, the religious folks of Jesus' day arrested the Son of God, beat him unmercifully, and nailed him to a Roman cross. Are you religious? Does God see your religion as worthless? Verse 26, you saw that with me. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Is your religion worthless this morning? It's a question that we must ponder. So what does it mean to be religious? The technical definition is relating to or devoted to religious beliefs or observances. That's the technical definition for religion. So how do you define your religious status? This morning you say, well, I'm a Baptist, that's why I'm here. Or we may have some folks say, well, I was raised Catholic. Or you might fill in there and say, no, I'm Pentecostal, we've got it right. But we all have that category that we fit ourselves into, and it usually falls along denominational lines. You may then go a little bit further and talk about being confirmed at a certain age, or you were baptized, or some other tag that you have in your life that documents the fact that you're religious. Most people, though, would say, I'm not religious. Now, I know what I just went through with all those statistics on the world religions and all. But catch this. Only about 20% of people attend church weekly. 20%. And I thought, well, that can't be true in Polk County, Missouri. Polk County, Missouri is a county of 34,000 plus, between 34 and 35,000 people. Okay? On any given Sunday, if 20% of the people in Polk County were in church, that would be 7,000 people. Now, Jody, help me. You know this county well. We could take all of the churches in Bolivar and all the country churches around, and I bet we couldn't get 7,000 people. In Polk County, Missouri, home of Southwest Baptist University, the buckle of the buckle on the Bible Belt. You see, most folks may say they're religious, but they don't practice a religion. Religions are typically defined through membership. Well, I belong to such and such a church or denomination. Membership or affiliation comes in different forms. In some places, you have to be confirmed. In other places, it has to be a confession of faith. And then there's just the act of joining a church. I don't want to offend anybody, and I'm not throwing rocks at you. I lived in this for the better part of my 75 years. But we don't have church membership here. At the end of the service, we're not going to have an invitation for you to come forward and join the church. You see, you join Wellspring Baptist Fellowship. We'll put your name on a roll if that's an itch you got to scratch, okay? But we don't vote on anything. And nothing is done in a democratic fashion. People say, well, that can't be a Southern Baptist church. Well, I wish the other Southern Baptist churches would listen in a little bit. Because you see, folks, membership is not about having your name on a church roll. Membership is about being the body of Christ among a cadre of believers. That's what it is. But usually membership comes through confirmation or confession or that act of joining. And what happens there is that churches then control the people that belong to the church. And you can be excommunicated. Or the old country folks around here used to call it being churched. What that means was if you thought you were a part of that church and you did something, said something, or didn't do something, you'd be churched. They'd throw you out. And you were no longer a member of that church. Many religions control people in this way. Some churches will withhold the sacraments from the members. If you do something or don't do something, they will withhold the sacraments from you. Affiliation with a religion usually affords members certain rights and privileges. You get to vote at business meetings. We don't have business meetings here either. All right? No, we just were foolish enough to think that the New Testament means what it says when it talks about the local church. And so we have elders and deacons. And Chuck and Andy and Dwayne and I have nothing to do with the finances of this church, nor do any of us get paid. But the finances and business activities of this church, to fix the door, this broker, whatever, is handled by those men who've been raised up as deacons. You think that's strange, that's different. I would challenge you to contradict that it's Bible. That's what I read as I read the New Testament. So people are expected to participate in their religion basically in three ways. Show up, attend, give your time, and give your money. And then from there, it's a spectator sport. I have never heard in the scripture where it said, go ye therefore and spectate. Have you? It's a body, folks. If you cut off your arm today, you're going to notice you don't have an arm. And the things that you used to do with that arm, you can no longer do. Well, if that's if the body functions, all of the parts of the body have to function. And so that's the body of Christ. Everybody has to function in the body of Christ according to the spiritual gift that you've been given. And we're not going to get into that. That's a 3, 4, 5 week study in itself. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been given a spiritual gift. And don't get off of the Pentecostal track with me on this, okay? And so if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, please find it out or come see one of us elders to help in that. And if you do know your spiritual gift and you're not using it, why not? We need you. We need you to serve according to your gift that you've been given. So when people ask me if I'm religious, my answer is no. I am not religious. Nor do I want to be religious. I want to participate as a follower of Jesus Christ in a body of fellow believers. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. That's all I need. I don't need a name on a church roll. All I need to know is that He has received me as I have received Him. And so I worship and fellowship with other non-religious people here at Wellspring. We don't serve a dogma. We serve our Lord as He leads. If you'll think back at the New Testament, our Lord's most caustic criticisms were directed toward the most religious people of His day. He was not critical of very many individuals, but He was caustically critical of the most religious people of His day. He called them a bunch of snakes and vipers, whitewashed tombs, as we said. Matthew 23, Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. If a religion directs and controls your life, are you any different from those that Jesus referred to as being hypocrites? Folks, you don't get marked for going to church. That's not where it is. Where it is where you are exercising the gifts and talents the Lord has given you in and through the body of Christ. That's a New Testament church. So this morning, do you have a religion or a relationship? I want to challenge you in the coming weeks. When somebody asks you what religion you are or where you go to church, force the issue and say, I'm not a church member. I'm a follower of Christ. Could I challenge you in that way? Now, I don't care that you advertise Wellspring if you want to, okay? Invite people to come. But folks, don't get into that ditch what we get into and say, well, I went to church. We've got crickets that do that. Cricket lover there, I guess. Second this morning, let's look at the conduct of those who are religious. The conduct of those who are religious. Verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. That's what Jesus said. James 3, we'll get there in a few years or whatever. James 3 tells us the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. set on fire by hell. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. He's talking about our tongues. You see, our tongues reveal who we are. Our tongues reveal who we are. A tongue that lies and deceives and curses and condemns is not controlled by the Holy Spirit. It is not a reflection of a person who's in Christ. But a tongue that condemns and deceives and curses and lies, a tongue that speaks of itself, boasting about itself all the time, the person, a tongue that curses God and others, a tongue that delights in sensual and world activities, such a tongue is set on fire by hell, not the Holy Spirit. Anyone who does not bridle their tongue, the Scripture says, practices a godless religion. New creations in Christ take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And according to 2 Corinthians 10:5, that means controlling your tongue. Listen to yourself. Listen to your thought life that precedes what you say. Run an inventory of your thought life when you're just all by yourself and nobody's around. And what's going on in your mind? Whatever is going on in your mind is eventually going to come out through your tongue. You see, the tongue is just speaking the inspirations of the mind. When others think of you, what do they think? When you're name, your person runs through somebody's mind through the week. And that happens, doesn't it? Our minds are always churning things and people pass through our mind. When you come into the mind of another person in this body, what do they think? What they think is based on what they see and hear. They're going to conclude, that person reminds me of Jesus, or some similar. That person reminds me of Jesus. That person is loving and caring and kind and compassionate. That person reminds me of Jesus. Or maybe when they think of you, well, they're just like everybody else, just in it for themselves. Is your life controlled by the world, the flesh, and the devil? Are your sins still counted against you? I want to share with you this morning, folks, there is no religion that can remove the sin of your life. You cannot go to church enough to deal with the sins that you've committed. And I'm in this group. I'm pointing my fingers back at me too. We cannot be so religious that it absolves us of the penalty for the sin of our life. So, folks, you need a relationship, not a religion. I hope you are famous for not being religious. I hope you're famous for the fact that you have a relationship with the God of this universe through His Son, Christ Jesus. A relationship that makes it possible for you to fellowship with God now. How you do that? Maybe a question, do you fellowship with God consistently, constantly? How do you do that? Well, first of all, you have to have a new mind, don't you? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And if that's the case, and the Holy Spirit fills you as He did when you were saved, then you have the mind of Christ. You see, if we have the mind of Christ, then we are always thinking about Him. And everything that comes into our life is in the context of him. And so all of those anger fits that we throw against somebody in our mind, you don't do that, okay? You know what I'm talking about. All of those things that we may hop on the telephone and call somebody and just really take somebody to town that the other person knows as well, all those kind of things. Where do those things come from? It comes from our mind. You see, if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a new mind. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, I'm not going to say that you don't have a temptation that you yield to, but I'm talking about the habitual, continual pattern of your life. That's what we're looking at as we talk about this relationship. A relationship that makes it possible for you to fellowship with God now and throughout eternity. You see, you have a relationship with him now or you don't. If you have a relationship with him, you have a peace that passes understanding. You know that everything that happens in your life, he's either planned it or permits it. You know that whatever happens in your life, it passed through him first. And you know that you can call unto him and he will answer. That's a relationship. We are in the front of his mind if we are in relationship with him, and he's in the front of our mind as a result. That's that relationship. That's not a religion. And so a relationship makes it possible to fellowship with him and with others who are also indwelled by him. Those who are new creations in Christ Jesus. And if you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, you have a new tongue. That tongue that James is speaking of here is not a wicked tongue, an evil tongue. It's a tongue that reflects who lives in you. New creations have a new tongue. New creations have the abundant life. And new creations have the assurance that they have eternal life when this life is over. Well, that covers the conduct of those who are religious. Finally, this morning, the confirmation of a pure religion. The word confirmation means verification of final standing. Verification of final standing. In verse 27, it emphasizes the behavior of a pure religion that is undefiled and confirms a person before God. You see, it ought to be that if you are just living around a person, they don't need to ask you if you're a Christian or not. It is to be so obvious that they don't even have to question. You'll hear people say, "You're religious, aren't you?" And I'll say, "No, I'm not religious." And then I'll have a chance, the door has been opened, and I say, "I'm not religious, but I do have a relationship with the Son of God." That people, they notice something. Help them define what they notice. A person who practices a pure religion practices a religion that looks like and prioritizes Christ in all things. In everything we do as a follower of Christ, it's in the context of him. The kids used to have a deal, I don't know, they probably still do. What would Jesus do? That's not bad stuff, folks. Given any situation, what would Jesus do? And parents, I challenge you to challenge your kids with that. When they come and they say, "Mom and Daddy, can I go to this or do that?" Or don't answer the question for them. But answer it with another question. Would you invite Jesus to go with you? You see, if you'll invite Jesus to go with you, then sure. But they're usually their heads duck down like this, and they know they wouldn't. Well, folks, go back to your childhood years. Would you ask Jesus to participate with you in all that you do? I'll let you fill in the blank. Is there anything that you are doing in your life today that you wouldn't invite Jesus to do with you? Folks, we're talking about a relationship here. We're not talking about a religion. A person who practices a pure religion, practices religion that looks like and prioritizes Christ alone. Verse 27 says that we serve God by serving and meeting the needs of others. That is what God sees as a pure religion. It's just not something we isolate for a Sunday every now and then. It's not something that we thought we did when we were a child. It's who we are every day, day in and day out. While we're there, you might as well inventory your language. How you doing with that? I'm not talking about when you're in church. I'm talking about when that cow gets out and running down the road. I'm talking about when that person pulls over and cuts you off in traffic. I'm talking about when a spouse comes home and they didn't do what you thought they should have done. Those are the times. That's what we're talking about. A person who practices a pure religion practices a religion that looks like Jesus all the time. New creations in Christ Jesus live lives that replicate the life of our Lord and Savior. You say, you're just being strange this morning. You're just setting forth a bunch of impossibilities. Have you read the Bible? Do you know what it teaches? We're talking about a relationship now, not a religion. Jesus met the needs of others when he was here, body, soul, and spirit. He cared for orphans and widows in their affliction. Apparently, that's a priority of God because it's included in his word here in James. The orphans and widows, he cared for them. He healed the sick. He wept with those who wept. And that's not a finite list. That goes on. In other words, whatever Jesus was doing, that's what we're doing if we're following him. Are these priorities in your life? Do you know any orphans and widows? Are you reaching out to people that are in need right now? I'm not trying to beat us up this morning. I'm trying to call us out. You see, caring like Jesus cares involves sacrificing our time and our talents and our treasures to meet the needs and sufferings of those less fortunate. Now listen to what he said there. Verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unstained from the world. That's a pure religion. Verse 27 tells us to be busy about what he was busy about. And while we're being busy about what he was about, we don't have time to be stained by the world. It's pretty simple, folks. Living like Jesus lived and living to serve others pleases God. When God observes your life, does he see you practicing a religion or living like Jesus? Does the religion you practice confirm your standing before God? Or does your religion confirm that you have no standing before him? Do you live resting in his peace and assurance, come what may? I walked around the room this morning, greeting many of you, and it's one of my favorite and most hated times. It's favorite because I get to shake somebody's hand and interact with them. But it's one of the worst times because I hear the stories of your lives. And the doctor's report this week. And all manner of other things. Folks, people in the world are hurting. Every one of us has a story. And if we're going to be a follower of Christ, we're going to engage our lives in the stories of those people. And there's nothing wrong with praying for one another, but don't leave it there. Did you see what it said? Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, and that's all that matters, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. And that's not a closed set again. Those are just representative needs that some people have. And while we're doing that, we keep ourselves unstained from the world. I think what happens there, if we're busy about ministering to one another, we don't have time to get stained. You see? That's what's going on here. No religion can give you rest, peace, and assurance. No religion can give you rest, peace, and assurance. Only salvation by faith alone in Christ alone can give you true peace and rest and assurance in this life. Abundant life now and eternal life when this life is over is the life of a person who follows Christ. If you are not experiencing the abundant life now, what's that? That's all that you need and more to give. There's no monetary value set on that. The abundant life is all that you need and more to give. And what you're doing is you're giving here, in this case, just a microcosm of other areas to minister to visit orphans and widows. That's what you're giving. There's no money exchange here, was there? There could be, but there wasn't. You see, maybe the person just needs somebody to call them and ask them how their week's going. Or maybe you're broke down on I-44 with a flat tire. I see that scene, Chuck. That's at night. I don't know what it's going to be. But folks, we have to always be ready to drop what we're doing to meet the needs in a person's life. That's what it's all about. And if you're not able to do that, maybe you can call the wrecker and pay for it. I don't know what it's going to mean. But no religion can give you rest and peace and assurance. Only being a follower of Christ and a disciple and doing what Jesus did will give you the rest, peace, and assurance you seek. Only by faith alone in Christ alone can you find that true rest and peace and assurance that you seek. And it gets better. Not only do you have the abundant life now, but when this life is over, you have eternal life with Him in His heaven. Am I saying anything this morning you don't like? Huh? It's all sounding good to me. Have you experienced those worries and frets and fears that you came in with or slipping away a little bit? Folks, if not, you're sleeping. Wake up. I've got a better deal. And I got it from here. The abundant life now and eternal life when you die. Oh, I pray that you're not, but are you trying to serve a worthless religion? Or is a religion that you practice pure and undefiled and described in this word this morning? Your life now and after you die depends on whether your religion is worthless or whether your religion is pure and undefiled before God. I implore you this morning, do an inventory of your life. Search your heart. What is it that gets you up and moving in a day? Do you have anything that just excites you beyond statement? Do you have something in your life that takes care of every issue that comes into your life? Do you have a friend that's closer than a brother who is always with you and who has told you that he will never leave you or forsake you and that whatever you experience or go through, he's going to be there with you? In fact, he's going to go before you into whatever situation that is in. Do you have that in your life? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You're going to die one of these days, and so am I. What's going to happen then? You don't want to listen to the world. They just describe us as a physiological being. That when a person dies, it's over. Don't listen to that, folks. I have too much evidence that they don't know what they're talking about. My Bible tells me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if you're a follower of Christ. My Bible tells me about the blessed hope. My Bible tells me about a life in heaven throughout eternity with someone who loves me more than anyone can ever love me. Do you have that today? I pray you do. Let's pray. Father, these two short little verses has so much to say about what we get confused about. So many are confused about religion, at least the few that would say they are religious. So many are still confused about it. They think if they join a church or have their name on a church roll that they're okay and they can pretty well do what they want to do from there on. Father, you're never about a religion. In fact, it just makes you sick, the religions that man has created. Father, what you want and what you're trying to give us and what you have given some of us is a relationship, not a religion. And so I pray, Father, that those who are gathered here in this room this morning would leave with a job, a task. Am I serving a religion, or do I have a relationship with the God of this universe through His Son, Jesus Christ? Help us, Father, to ponder that through the week. Thank you, Lord.